Welcome to the Faith Dialogue Podcast with your host, Pastor Ken Baer. Are you ready to swim in the deep end of the Bible pool or climb to the top of Faith Mountain? If so, open the eyes that see, those ears that hear, and a heart that is receptive. Get your cup of coffee and your Bible as we begin.
As Barbara said, anytime we get together and we get to be able to be taught and to be able to open up the scriptures and to be able to hear from you, that's a blessing for us, Lord. So we want to take all of those opportunities and relish them and look forward to them and grow as a result. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So this parable of the leaven is in two different places in the Synoptic Gospels. It's in Luke as well as Matthew. And I'm going to read it, and then we'll kind of talk about some of the interesting things in this parable. And again, Jesus said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." And then in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew says it this way. Then he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough." Jesus spoke all of these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." So there's a couple of things I just want to point out to you real quickly. So there's the first thing I want to point out to you, and it's because, like I said, it's something that means a lot to a lot of people, but really shouldn't. And one is this idea of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever heard people try to explain there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Well, there's people that like to do that because Jesus uses both terms. However, in the Gospel of Matthew, often it's the kingdom of heaven, and in the other gospel, it's the kingdom of God. So here's the lesson we could learn from that. Is it's possible that the words from Matthew's perspective or from the gospel writer's perspectives are interchangeable. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are interchangeable. And I think this is an illustration. Jesus is telling a parable about the leaven and how should he liken it? And in one, he says, how can I liken the kingdom of God? And the other one is the kingdom of heaven. So that's been the way that I've been teaching. So Jesus says, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. And in Matthew, it's very similar. It says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it all worked all the way through the dough. So we're just going to, those two are very, very similar. One says kingdom of heaven, the other one says kingdom of God. And like I said, there's theologians that will make a huge difference. I've heard this just recently. I heard it was from a preacher I liked listening to, but he was making a big deal about the kingdom of heaven being up in heaven and the kingdom of God being on earth. And it's like, oh, Perry, I appreciate the teaching. There's a lot I can learn from the teaching, and I appreciate the enthusiasm that you teach it with. And I appreciate all the scripture you're using, but quite frankly, I don't see the difference. I think that they're both similes. They're both metaphors for this invisible, growing, and coming kingdom that Jesus is the king. The best thing I like about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is the word kingdom, because every kingdom has a king. Every king. The United States is not a kingdom. There never has and never will be a king of the United States. We have presidents, we have good presidents, we have bad presidents, but we don't have any kings. Kingdoms have kings. And the king above all is none other than Jesus Christ. So that's one thing that's interesting in this. And we'll talk about the parable, this idea of the leaven working its way through. I'll tell you a story first. You're going to like this. So I don't know much. I'm not much of a baker, okay? You ladies, are you a baker? Did you ever bake much? Jimbo, did you ever bake much?
Not
cookies?
A
not a bit. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I ever did is I used to get these cookie dough rolls and you cut them off and put like four cubes on a. Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is like that. All we have to do is give a little bit. Say a little bit and it expands.
See, the ladies know that. So years ago, Carol and I were, I don't think we even had kids yet. We were so young. We were just young. What do we know? What do we know, right? We just had just newly married. And my wife isn't much of a baker either. And we were both working full time, you know, trying to make a living and get ahead in the world. And so at the time, it was nice. You know, we had friends that had like would bake bread and break cookies and pies. And so my wife was trying to find a way around that, you know, trying to do something better than we had, you know, not McDonald's all the time, but not quite what Betty Crocker did down the street. So we went and bought some frozen bread dough. Have you ever seen that? It comes in the store and it looks like a loaf of bread that hasn't been baked yet. So we had it in the freezer. We made one of them and it came out okay, but not as good as the stuff you could buy in the store, you know, and took a lot of work. So the other three just sat in the freezer for about a year. And this was the old days. Remember the old days when you get frost in the freezer and you had to chip it out and stuff like that? So I'm looking at the freezer and I've got to defrost the freezer and I'm pulling this bag out with these three loaves of bread. And I said, well, this is nuts. We're not going to use this, right? So what did I do? I threw them in the garbage. Threw them in the garbage, right? What else would you do? You put them in the garbage, right? Forgot about it. Came out the next morning, okay? The next day, came out, stumbled out of bed. It was a hot summer day. Walked into the kitchen, and I froze because I thought there was this ghost in my kitchen because this dough had risen out of the trash can and had grown to about 6 feet tall. Wow. And along with the bread dough, it had picked up everything in the garbage. So it had a banana peel hat and it had some coffee grounds on the side. This sucker was about 6 feet tall.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what it was. It was amazing. So that's all I know about leaven, which is a little bit goes a long way. Goes a long way. So talking about leaven, here's the other thing, is that there's a few times that Jesus talks about leaven. Now, what's interesting with this parable is the other times Jesus talks about leaven, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, okay? And the whole example is like, it's like one bad apple, okay? You get one bad apple and a bunch of apples, all of them are going to get rotten, okay? A little bit of yeast goes a long way. And yeast in the Bible, remember, for the Feast of Purification for the Jews, as well as the Feast of Passover, it was important that they get rid of all of the yeast. And yeast in the Bible symbolized sin. It was another way of saying you got to get rid of that. So at Passover, they even, if you've ever been to a Passover, well, if you come to our Seder service, we do a what's the Seder? What's a Seder? Were you there?
Yeah.
What's a Seder? So we're going to do that again this year. And we talk about the whole Seder and how what the symbolism was in it and stuff like that. And one of the symbolic things that the Jewish women will do is they'll take a little teeny broom and they'll literally go to all of the windows of the house and they'll symbolically kind of clean the house. And the reason is they're getting rid of leaven. They're getting rid of the yeast. So the idea is to take care of all of the yeast, get rid of it. So this parable is a little bit different, and that's why it's important to understand context and also to truly understand what Jesus is talking about and what he's talking about. And it's obvious in the way he's saying this, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the ultimate kingdom of God that and he's comparing the kingdom of God to leaven. Well, it can't be sin. It can't be something bad. The kingdom of God is... Exactly. It's everything good. It's everything good. I mean, the only thing that's bad with this earth is where the kingdom of God is not there. You know, we need more light, not more darkness.
False.
That's right. Yeah. In Philippians, in the Bible study we're doing in Philippians, I mean, Paul talks about beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilators, beware of the workers of evil, because in this world as it is, we still have people that appear to be our friends and appear to be holy, but actually they're wolves, they're wolves in sheep clothing. So this is different. So this parable is talking about the kingdom of God. So because it's talking about the kingdom of God, we know that Jesus is trying to teach us a secret about the ultimate kingdom. We know that the ultimate kingdom, remember we talked about this last week, which is when we talk about the mustard seed and the growth of the kingdom of God, all too often we tend to look at ourselves, or we tend to look at the physical churches, the organizations that are out there, and I try to apply the meaning of the parable to ourselves or the churches. And that's dangerous, because this is really about the kingdom of God. It's really about the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God, let me tell you, when the kingdom of God comes, you're going to know it, okay? You're going to know it. You know, you're going to know it. It's like somebody asking, somebody was asking a young guy, and they were talking about breaking the law and stuff like that. And the guy said, well, have you ever had a speeding ticket? And the guy says, I don't think so. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You either have or you haven't. I mean, there's no wondering whether you've had or not. If you've got flashing lights behind you and a big police officer coming over to you and asking for your license, your registration, okay, you know you've been doing something wrong. There's no one way or the other. It's the same way with the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God comes, there won't be any ambiguity. There won't be any wandering. Right now in Washington, you got these arguments going on between the political parties, and they're arguing over words. Well, with the kingdom of God comes, with the king, there's not going to be any arguing, okay? It's Jesus' way or the highway, okay? It's only one way. It's only one way. So Jesus uses this story by talking about the kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven is not the church. Not the church. That doesn't mean there's not applications for the church. So, for example, let's talk about a little bit about these applications. Okay. Well, we know that it said that a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, that applies to both the sin that can so easily entangle us, as well as the actual gospel. The idea of the mustard seed. Remember last week, we talked about a mustard seed would come, even though it's very, very small, it starts growing. Well, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like the leaven that a woman kneads into three measures, which we find out is 60 pounds. How much is a measure? Looks like a measure is 20 pounds. Now, 60 pounds of flour, that's more flour than my wife has ever used in her lifetime, okay? In her lifetime, we don't have to buy big bags of flour. You know, we use a little bit of flour for gravy. That's about it. We don't use a lot of flour. So 60 pounds of flour, a little bit of leaven, and she kneads it into that. Okay, she measures it, and eventually it has its influence throughout the whole thing. So one of the things we know about leaven is that it only takes a little bit, but will have a lasting impact. One of the other things we know about leaven is that whether you like it or not, it's going to have its impact. Now that's what's interesting. You know, Jesus said, it's amazing that you said this, because remember Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't told you this, but my Father's revealed it to you. And I tell you, therefore, that you are the rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church will continue to grow. It is pervasive. You cannot stop. It's like light. If it was pitch dark here, pitch dark, and I was going to go over and turn the lights on, and you said, oh, let's stop the light. You can't stop the light. The light overcomes darkness. The kingdom of God ultimately will overcome everything that's evil in this world. You know, sometimes we look around us and it's easy to be discouraged. It really is. It's easy to be discouraged because you look around and you see some churches. I mean, I spent some time in Europe, and it was discouraging because I would stop in these beautiful cities in Europe. I was in Brussels, I was in Paris, I was in beautiful, beautiful places in Europe. And I'd stop in and see these beautiful cathedrals. And they're magnificent. And, you know, they took 100 years to build. And they were the biggest building in the town. If you look back to paintings of like 17th century and 16th century towns in Europe. The biggest building in the town was this beautiful church, and everybody would be going to church, and it was, people would be there to come to worship. And now they're pretty much museums. There's not a lot of people going to churches in parts of Europe. But don't be discouraged. God has a plan. God is at work. The kingdom of God is advancing. So one of the things we know with this parable is that it's pervasive. Pervasive. It's like you can't get the yeast out of the dough, right? If I put some in there, okay, and just read says, oh, you got to get it out of there. I can't get it out anymore, right? I can't take it out. It's like if you've got a glass of water and you have one of those little flavorers or those, and you put a couple drops in, and all of a sudden the whole glass is turning pink or orange or whatever flavor you put in there. You can't take it out. You can't take it. It's in there. It's pervasive. So it's pervasive. The other thing is that other than this giant Pillsbury doughboy that was up here in my kitchen, usually yeast in bread improves it, okay? And you don't really see it happening. It just kind of happens. You have to, I'm not a baker, but my understanding is that if you want to bake something, you have to kind of knead the dough, and then you let it out for a while. You let it sit out for a while, and you let the yeast kind of do its thing, and it rises a little bit right before you put it into the oven, because otherwise it's like pita bread. Just doesn't cook right. So it just keeps on going. It just keeps working, even though you don't see it working. The other thing is that how does the dough get, how does the yeast get into the dough? Well, it touches it, right? So in fact, my understanding is that in olden times, they didn't have the yeast, the actual kernels from the wheat. They would actually use an old piece of dough. So they would knead some dough. They'd knead some dough, and they'd make the bread, and they take a little piece of the dough off, and they'd put it into a clay jar and put a top on it and keep all the air out of it. And then the next day when they're making the bread, they take that little piece of dough, and they put it back in the new bread, and they make it again. It just kind of replicates itself. The kingdom of God is very much the same. Today, remember we talked about this last week with the parable of the mustard seed. Today, the Christian church has something like 2.2 billion people that call themselves Christians. 2.2 billion. I mean, that's a lot of people. I mean, that's more people than were on the highway on I-4. You know, the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. 2.2 billion people. Okay, it continues to grow. It continues to grow, and we know that the way it's been growing, okay, has been pretty much invisible, and it grows by contact. So, how does if we compare the gospel to a seed which we've had in the past, how is that seed planted? It's from person to person, right? It's from person to person. You know, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So it's people that hear the gospel, and then you go and tell somebody else the gospel, and then you have kids and you tell your kids the gospel, and as they grow up, they tell their kids the gospel, and the gospel keeps on growing. It keeps on growing. It grows by contact, just like the yeast. The bread that has the yeast in it comes in contact with some more bread, and that yeast continues. It continues to grow. I like that. And here's the final thing about the kingdom is that ultimately we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Ultimately, there will be a day when it will be complete. It'll be complete. In fact, you know the word perfect, you know how God's, how in the Bible it says to be perfect. You know what that word perfect actually means? It means to be complete. It means to complete. It means that it's done. It's kind of like an artist, a Michelangelo or a Picasso or some amazing artist painting a picture. And he starts with the background and he starts adding color to it and texture. And he goes back. And if you've ever watched anybody putting together a picture, you know, you see what they're doing, but they have this idea in mind. and they're splashing color, and ultimately it gets complete. And when it's done, you know what the last thing the artist does? He signs his name. He signs his name. And God is doing the same thing. He is building the kingdom of God. Now, the application, remember we said on applications on parables, you can have many, many applications. So you have applications yourself on these things. God is doing a work in you. And God will continue to do that work until the time that he takes you home, okay, or comes together with the rest of the saints in the clouds. He's going to continue to work on you. And you have the opportunity to take that, what you know, and be able to give it to somebody else. Applications are many in these parables. Wonderful application. God will continue to work in your life and continue to until you are perfect. Another way of looking at perfect is you are complete. And when you're complete, God's going to sign his name, which is actually true because the Bible says that Jesus, okay, sitting at the right hand of the Father, in the book of Revelation, he says he has a name on his thigh that only he knows. Only he knows. There's a name on his thigh. There's another place that it says that the saints in heaven will all be given a stone, and the stone will have a name, a particular name for each one of us, a new name. Isn't that something? Just as the old Saul became the Apostle Paul, Israel. God changed the people's names often, okay? Simon became Peter, which was a rock, okay? Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Just in the same way, when we're complete, when God is done with us, we'll be getting a new name. Exactly right. So isn't that good? I like that. I like the idea. So let's recap real quickly. So what is this parable? This parable is very simple. It's about that the kingdom of God is compared to yeast that a woman would work into the dough until the entire loaf is influenced by it. We said that unlike other places in the Bible where yeast is considered to be sinful, okay, this is the kingdom of God. So we know that it's not sinful. But the effect is similar, and that a little bit of yeast will leaven the entire loaf. A little bit of the word of God goes a long way because it continues to have its effect. You know, Jesus came over 2,000 years ago and really never traveled more than about 60 miles, okay? Never authored a book, never was on television, never had a podcast, never had a publicist, okay? But the work of Jesus continues to this day. It's a very powerful statement that if you realize what the Christian church has done, what Christianity has done to the world, the way that it's treated women, the way that it's treated laborers. I mean, the whole idea of slavery. Slavery was part of the Roman Empire, was part of the way that the world did things. It isn't today. It's not considered appropriate. Even though there's still slavery going on, it's not considered appropriate. The world works against it. The morality we have today is different than we had before. So this is the little bit of yeast that has leavened.
You've been listening to Faith Dialogue with Pastor Ken Baer, recorded live at Celebrate Seniors, a ministry of Faith Dialogue. You can listen to or watch all of the recordings at Faith Dialogue by going to www.faithdialogue.org.